I always think back about in baseball, for example, they're always thinking about how do we reduce time? How do we cut 30 seconds off a game? One of the easiest ways is when someone hits a home run, just have them go back to the dugout. There's no reason to run the bases. We take 40 seconds out of the game to celebrate. So you should pat yourself on the back, and we should be celebrating wins. And there's a little bit of the flow from progressives, sprinkles are for winners. I think we do need to be really feeling like this office, this community, this firm, we're doing really well in certain areas. And it's important to celebrate those wins.
The role of OMP is clearly an important one. You're the face of an entire campus of people, despite not having met many of them. People with different needs, careers, concerns, and they look to you to lead them, to create an environment that's inclusive and engaging, to hear their ideas on how they'd like to be part of this community, both in the office and from their homes. Today we get to know a little bit more about Arun Rajappa, what drives him, and what makes Montvale so unique to him. I'm Joe DeProspero. This is the Montvale Muse. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm fresh off a tall cup of very strong coffee. I'm feeling super energized, maybe a little too energized. How are you doing, Gail?
I am fresh off of a bottle of water, so I feel hydrated, but not too hydrated.
Yeah, I probably should have taken your path. I am Joe DeProspero. She is Gail Smith-McCarthy. We're pleased to be with you back on the Montvale Muse. We have, as you already saw in the episode description, a very special guest today, our new OMP, Arun Rajappa. And it's fitting that we're recording this on today, the fourth birthday of the Montvale Muse. So happy birthday to us. And we'll get to why that is appropriate in a minute. But first, Gail, let's break the ice.
Hi, Gail. Hi, Joe. This is Francesca Garay from the Global Business Operations team. I was wondering, what are you most excited about personally in 2024?
All right. Good question. What are we most excited about personally in 2024? Gail, I'll have you go first.
You know, there's a lot that I'm excited about. Some travel and some reconnection with folks. We have two big trips this year. One is to our favorite happy place, Aruba, and another is to Kenya. And we're going to be celebrating our 10 plus 10, which is 10 years of dating, followed by 10 years of marriage. Obviously, we weren't in any rush to get married. We got a dog. We bought a house. We, you know, moved in together. We did all those things before we got married. But it's been 10 years plus 10 years. And so I'm really excited about all of those things. What about you?
So I'm in the process of finishing building a home theater in my house. It was last year. It was ahead of my middle son's birthday party. And I was really starting to think about the passage of time and how time felt like it was kind of getting away from me, especially as I saw my kids getting older. And I thought, this space is so underutilized in our basement. Wouldn't it be great if we could create some kind of like a home theater? And my wife knew that I was all about this, wanted to eventually do it. And one fateful night, she said, you know, I think that's a good idea, that movie theater room you talked about. And like within an hour, I was already like scoping out TVs and chairs and allocating it in the budget for that coming year. Mm-hmm. And then within a few months, listen, it wasn't done. It's still not done now, but it was functional by last June. So it was like the TV, like the seating, the sound system, all that stuff. I realized that, and we're going to get into this, and that like the purpose of this show is we have our OMP on, and the main purpose of the OMP role is to help build and sustain a community.
Yes.
Right? And the more I thought about this space and why I was so excited about it, it was because I realized how important it was to me to build a community, to give people a place for to gather and to connect with each other. Hence why I think it's appropriate that we're recording this on the fourth anniversary of this podcast, because it was in that spirit that I created the podcast, to give people an opportunity to, you know, to learn from each other, to laugh with each other. So definitely something I'm jazzed about.
Oh, yeah. That sounds so just promising and rewarding, and it must be a great feeling. I know that feeling of having a space that you want to do something with. So you hit go and then you start and then it's done and it's, you know, what you envisioned, and then you're using it and you're seeing how it creates just new energy. And that's always a magical thing. So I love building a sense of community by connecting other people sometimes. Sometimes it's, you know, being in the center of it and kind of like our Laura Nowinski and Sandy Torsha event on site yesterday, which was magical and wonderful. But my default is definitely I want to help others to connect with each other and to build those bridges and to, you know, to find things that they're looking for, be it advice or people or places or whatever, what have you. People. It's all about people.
I think that said, Gail, now is a good time to bring in our esteemed guest, Arun Rajappa, our new OMP. So let's bring him in. I am so happy and thrilled to welcome you, Arun, into our studio here in Montville. Always great to be here in person. Excited to talk to you about your new role, what you think about your new role, and you know, ideas and aspirations you have for our campus. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Joe, and congratulations to you and Gail on 4 years for this podcast. Incredible accomplishment.
Yes, four years.
I was excited to see that posted. And
absolutely, for sure. So Arun, can you level set here, starting with, like, what's your philosophy and your overall agenda as Montvale's new OMP?
That's a great question. It's definitely one I've been getting. And it's honestly, at this point, just learning and listening. So I was hesitant at first to come in with a 30, 60, 90-day standard agenda of here's the plan, here's the roadmap. But transparently, I've not been an OMP before. I've certainly visited Montvale for 20-plus years now, but never in that capacity of really knowing what the needs of the office are, where we want to go and things what we want to improve. So really just understanding the needs of the office, what's working, what's not, and where do we want to flex. But ultimately, I think my vision is just to really support the firm. So when I look at grow and where we want to be as a firm, I think the two components as OMP that really resonate are unlocking the power of our people and transforming how we go to market. So everything we do will true back to one of those two pillars. And I think that's really the commitment and vision.
I love that. I love what you said, Arun, about just spending this time taking it all in, listening. And it reminds me of a book that I love called The Speed of Trust. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I remember from that book in terms of the principles of establishing trust and building trust is the phrase, seek first to understand and then to be understood.
Right.
And to me, that translates exactly to what you're doing. You're kind of saying, okay, I'm not coming in. I'm being very transparent. I haven't been an OMP before. I'm not familiar with Montvale. Tell me, you know, give me information that I can then use to help you help support the community and the campus. So much appreciated.
Completely right, Gail. And even what Sandy Torsha shared yesterday of rushing in, you know, that client service, client first mindset. Mm-hmm. I think all of us are somewhat type A and are problem solvers. So coming in with a solution, I thought Sandy said it really well. Understand the problem. Understand what needs to be solved before just rushing in with what you think is a one-size-fits-all solution. So
yeah,
I think about what I've learned in the last 2 months, and I think Montvale is just so unique, and there's so much to build on. And, of course, everyone knows that it is all about the legacy of this incredible campus. But things like Montvale Plus, Learning Days, other things that we've talked about are just so unique to Montvale.
Mm.
We just need to keep building on that to really unlock the power versus doing something 180 degrees that's different than what we've done before.
Well said.
Yeah, Arun, I think listening is really important. I've tried to employ that strategy on calls, and I've had people message me and say, aren't you going to say anything? And I say, no, this is an information gathering call.
Right.
And sometimes that is misperceived as disinterest or not paying attention, but it's so vitally important, particularly when you're coming into a role that you've never had before, to do the listening up front.
And I would say that lack of talking or engagement can be even more challenging in a Teams environment where you really don't know if the person is actually paying attention.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, just sitting here with you all in person, it's clear from body language and cues that somehow in Teams you can lose. And I think that's why it's been so important to spend as much time as I possibly can and balancing work and life on being on site as much as possible to truly build trust, build the relationships, and then really pivot as needed later down the road.
So, Arun, I know you haven't been in Montvale very long, right? But what to you so far has made Montvale stand out? How is it different from other offices?
It's interesting to me because it's one of the only offices where we have all of our vice chairs represented. So there's only but so much an OMP can control, given that we all have, quote-unquote, day jobs and vice chairs that we want to listen to. But so that's one component that's certainly different, something that we'll want to navigate. But the second piece is just, again, we touched on it a little earlier, the community. It is a very small town family vibe here that's a bit mind-blowing to me. So I've worked in really large offices in Tyson's Corner in Washington, D.C., very large. You can go months without seeing someone that's on your team. I've worked in a smaller office in Richmond where it is that very small town feel. Everyone's on one or two floors max. So Montville's that really nice balance of a large town, but I think the community, the fact that our years of experience here is so long, it truly feels different. And just the support model, like none of this is possible without the support model that we all have. And I think there's just a sense of community within Montville that we're all in it together. Certainly not being a client-facing office, I think, is its own differences, opportunities, and challenges in that same mindset of how do we truly support transforming how we go to market when we don't have that direct engagement with our clients. And I think, again, I true back to things that we're working on. I think it's really just making sure the office is connected with the strategy, understands the strategy, and more importantly, our leaders realize where we fit in creating the strategy and supporting the strategy. And I think that will be one of the areas that we really want to focus on is making sure folks understand the power of Montville, but also Montville understands how important it is to delivering on our firm's ambitious trust and growth agendas at the same time.
So I guess we're talking a little bit about the people and what makes Montville special. What advice would you give to the people in Montville who are looking to advance their careers? You know, we're all kind of on our various paths and journeys. What advice would you give?
I think we're just in a very unique time right now. As a firm, as an industry, things are changing at a pace that no one has expected. We are evolving. I think we know that this firm will look and feel different in 5 years, maybe 3 years, than it is currently. And I think we know that. And I think we have an incredible strategy and investments that will support that. From a personal perspective and just what I tell my counselees and even my children of, you know, the next job that we have may not even exist in 5 years. So I have a son who's looking to go into college and he's thinking about what do I want to be? What do I do? I have a niece who's looking into cybersecurity. I think we all know whatever the profession is, it may not even exist or it's going to be vastly different in 5 years. So working backwards from that, and I usually look at 5-year increments for career and movement, I think it's just a few things. One, being intellectually curious, being a student of the firm. So not only understanding the industry and understanding what's going on, but understanding our firm strategy, our firm initiatives, and where as a firm we are going and we are investing in. It's a bit of follow the money. So if we know the firm's investing in these 4 or 5 things, continue to understand those, learn on those, go on a degreed pathway. There's so many ways the firm has created opportunities for us to learn. I also would true back to being very agile, adapting to change, embracing the change. Again, as we talked about, nothing is going to stay the same. Nothing should stay the same. So just being able to understand the change and navigate that change, I think will be a really important conversation and element to do. And then the final piece, I think, is just having a really direct conversation with your PML and your leaders. This is just something where so many of us don't want to be that squeaky wheel and we feel that's not the right thing. And that's not it at all. It's truly understanding the elements to elevate in your career really are 3 things. It's your own readiness. What do you need to personally work on to achieve that next level? What's the business case? So what does that role look like? And does it even exist in your current team? And then finally, who are your stakeholders? And do you have the support from your key stakeholders? So understanding that and understanding that you personally can't control all elements of that. So you may be ready, but there may just not be a business case. But again, being a student of the firm, understanding where there may be cases and being out there, I think are really important. And then the 4th and final component certainly is just networking and mentoring. So much benefit I've seen is either being a mentor or in more cases, receiving mentorship and guidance from just trusted colleagues and peers. It's just a really important connection point to really hear advice, hear feedback on yourself, and just really encourage you to take that chance. So I think those are the 4 areas in terms of career advancement, growth, and just thinking about the future over the next 3 to 5 years.
Like you said, sometimes it's looking into the future, seeing what's coming next.
Right.
Right. So I actually launched this podcast outside of my regular job.
Okay.
And then a few weeks later, somebody from marketing came up and said, well, you've got that podcast out there. Like, we don't really have distribution for ours. How do we get ours out there? That became my new job, just because I am, not to pat myself in the back, but it's so important to look ahead and see, where is there a need, and can I fill that need?
Yeah. And Joe, you said something interesting about like not patting yourself on the back. I think we should. I think we should celebrate wins and celebrate just great accomplishments and the wins. I always think back about in baseball, for example, they're always thinking about how do we reduce time? How do we cut 30 seconds off a game? One of the easiest ways is when someone hits a home run, just have them go back to the dugout. There's no reason to run the bases. They've hit the home run. We don't think any of these great athletes are not going to hit all four bases, but we take 40 seconds out of the game to celebrate. So you should pat yourself on the back, and we should be celebrating wins. And there's a little bit of the flow from progressives, sprinkles are for winners. I think we do need to be really feeling like this office, this community, this firm, we're doing really well in certain areas. And it's important to celebrate those wins and be proud of our accomplishments and not feel humble or bad for patting yourselves on the back. I think this podcast is incredible and it's well needed.
Thanks, everyone. I think that's a great point. Although it is funny to imagine baseball without the home run hitter running around the bases.
I agree. As a diehard St. Louis Cardinals fan, I liked watching Pujols run around the bases every time. But in the mindset of 40 seconds is two commercials, you know, maybe that's an important part, though.
And you never know that may be taken out of sports, the way that they're taking out all these and fining people for excessive celebration. So
sure.
we may unfortunately come to that at some point.
Well, as a Mets fan, like, I don't know what it's like anyway. So right.
That's true. You had 1986. You're good. And as a Cardinals fan, I'm not a big Mets fan at all. I think
we can put our differences aside. Arun,
we'll all hate the Yankees together.
Exactly.
So it's okay.
Sorry, Yankees fans.
Exactly.
So Arun, did you grow up near St. Louis? Like, how did you become a fan?
I did. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. So born and raised in St. Louis. For anyone from St. Louis, the way you identify yourself is which high school you would have gone to. So Parkway North for any of my Midwestern friends. I'll block hours of my day when I'm in Montvale just to really walk the halls. If anyone wants to come in and talk, it's fantastic. I do miss the components of a coffee chat when you actually walked and got coffee. So for anyone that wants to swing by, I will get a coffee any time of the day with anyone. But to me, it just really helps. Again, we talk about relationships and trustworthiness. So when there is an instance where someone needs to confide or we need to have a tough conversation, I just think all of those smaller moments that building up to it, when you may need to have that closed door conversation, that's really my philosophy in the open door policy and office hours is truly to engage, learn, but just form connections and relationships.
So Arun, you mentioned office hours there. That kind of jumped off the page for me. So are you going to have official office hours here?
It's official in the sense that I'm certainly blocking time, but candidly, my schedule is at the mercy of many others than myself. But generally from 1 to 3 when I'm in the office is when I'm trying to set aside those office hours, but certainly we'll flex and move things around. I'm here pretty early, mainly since I'm in a hotel. There's really nothing to stay for, so I'm here quite early. For any morning birds, feel free to swing by the office, 120 in building 75, but in the evening as well. But also, just anytime you want to connect, sending a Teams message, calendar invites, that's all available too. So when I'm in Montvale, my goal is to be a full-time LMP and support the office and meet with folks. So the office hours are generally 1 to 3. I'll be the first to admit if there's a meeting that I need to attend, as any of us do, we'll take it. But that's the approach for now.
Great. Saying being here, you'll be a full-time OMP. Mm-hmm. But you have another job too. Sure. And that's something I've always wondered about with the OMP role. Always been fascinated with, so I'm really happy to have you here. Right. I know you haven't been in the role very long, but have you had instances yet, or do you foresee instances where you will be torn between the responsibilities of the two roles, and how do you manage that?
They are really complementary, and I think back to if David was our CFO and OMP, Corey had a huge role in talent and culture and served as our OMP. I think they're really complementary roles, and that's the part that's been eye-opening to me, and I can see why it was complementary for David as well as for Corey. For me, in a risk management role, it's very much understanding the needs of my business, my counterparts, and being in this internal role to support groups like Digital Nexus, FNA, TNC. So that's really my client per se. And knowing that almost all of those groups are represented here in Montvale, it's actually accelerated my connectivity with the group, been able to actually engage much more closely in certain areas. And it's only been 2 months. So while we used to have very standard coffee chats and one-on-one touch points, it's great to be able to go up to the second floor and go talk to my F&A colleagues or see the TNC team on the floor that we're sitting in. They coexist really well, but it's impossible to take both hats off at any given time. Even when we're meeting with Sandy and Laura Nowinski yesterday, when they were talking about their strategy, there was so much of me that wanted to ask, well, what are the risks to that strategy? What's keeping you up at night? I refrained, but I really wanted to. But another great example is Chris Cortin has this entire area called Area 75 where he is building innovation. He is creating an amazing platform for this firm and for our office in terms of innovation, Gen AI, he has Metaverse down there. We did a tour of that night, and I was full disclosure with him, like, there's a risk hat on of are we doing this in the right way? But the OMP part of me is like really excited. Like, how do we blow this up? How do we let people know about it? How do we evangelize it? So I think it's a really interesting way to bring both hats together.
So Arun, we just talked about you having kind of two jobs, mm-hmm. kind of like a split role. You also have a third or at least one other job, mm-hmm. that's being a dad.
Right.
And something near and dear to my heart. We talked about that on the podcast before. What's your favorite part of being a dad, and how did your children react to your new gig?
Oh, man. You probably just saw my face light up. And so talking, I think for anyone talking about family and kids, it's just the best part of my day. And if my wife listens to this, she's incredible too. So thank you, Julie, for letting me be here. I think my kids have just taught me so much and just how I needed to evolve. The first 10 years, I feel like it was just go, go, go. Career work was just such a sole focus, and I missed out a lot. And it took some good conversations with my wife and my family, like what's important, what are we focused on? And we did, and I realized I needed to make certain changes of just what was important and prioritizing what's important at this phase. So grateful for my wife and kids in that regard of always keeping me honest. I just love every stage and age the kids have been in. I've never regretted like, oh, I wish they were still two or I wish they were still four. It's amazing to watch them just grow. And I love every stage. So right now my son is 16. I love just watching him drive to high school, cross country, track, just becoming a bit of a man, honestly. It's a really cool thing. I miss the days when he was 3 and 7 and 10, but I just love watching him right now, and I can't wait to see where he goes in the next couple of years. And my daughter is finishing middle school. She'll be in high school next year. She's 13, and I just love watching her brain just operate. She's just such a kind, good person. I'm wearing a bracelet that she made for me. She's always creating incredible arts and crafts, so just being a dad's been the best.
You hit on something there that I try to live by that philosophy, and you didn't use these exact words. You pretty much said it this way. It's appreciating the current stage, mm-hmm. that your children are in and how you interact with them in those stages. But also being able to understand that it's changing, mm-hmm. you know, like I have a 12-year-old who is the youngest 12-year-old on planet Earth, is really super short, still sleeps with his stuffed animals. And seeing my older son, who's 14, who is seemingly 20 years beyond that, right. you know, just like so different in every possible way. It makes me appreciate that that's what's coming. I can appreciate that. Judge me if you want, but I'm going to watch Goodfellas with my 14, soon to be 15-year-old soon. I think he's kind of in that territory where I can watch that. But my younger son, I'm still laying with him talking, okay, what's that? The name of that stuffed animal again? And appreciating that moment, knowing that there's limited time to appreciate this, but while still appreciating it in the moment.
I love it. And I definitely wouldn't judge on Goodfellas. We have watched Breaking Bad, ooh. Which is fantastic. What are we watching? We're watching Lost right now, which is, I forgot how slow it is. Maybe it's because we're watching every episode. I'm like, holy cow, we have another 140 hours of this. I don't know if I can just fast forward, but there are certain weekends that we'll just spend on the couch just binging TV. I think during winter shutdown, which I loved, we were just watching either Hunger Games or Lord of the Rings at any given time. Didn't go anywhere. It was the best 3 or 4 days of just doing nothing and sitting on the couch and seeing who's going to get the popcorn. So I completely agree with you. It's nice, but I'm not going to lie. I can't wait to have grandkids in 10 years or whatever that right amount. Like, want some more babies in the life again. So it'll be nice.
It'll be fun for sure.
Oh, I love hearing both of you talk. I mean, it just, you know, sometimes when you listen to parents talk, you can get kind of pulled down in the, you know, whatever the issue of the moment or looking forward, like, I'm not looking forward to that stage. But to hear both of you talk and just light up about being appreciative of the past with great memories and appreciating the present and being so hopeful for the future and knowing that there are good things, I just love it. So I do not have children. I'm a dog. We're a dog family, my husband and I, but I do appreciate children and just the beauty of life and how it progresses.
So Arun, this podcast is progressing to something that we haven't done in here in a little while, but Okay. Since you're here, we're gonna bring back a traditional spot, our lightning
Okay. Round. Okay.
So series of questions we're going to throw at you, rapid fire. I'm going to ask you a question, then Gal will. It's going to be a little bit like a tennis match for you. You can be looking back and forth. But
well,
just,
can I ask you guys questions? Can we mix this up? Like, can I get a turn to asking you guys a question?
A twist.
We have never been asked that before in the podcast, but I'd absolutely love that.
Okay, same. Well, let me at least think of three.
Yeah. Like,
all right, sounds good.
Wow, okay. The first question, as always, is are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Favorite vacation spot?
I think it would have to be Italy, but very close is Paris. Italy and Rome just is magical. I love the history of the city. I love how they built a city thousands of years ago, but still works today. So when I think about the traffic that we deal with, they built their roads in foresight of allowing so much more space. And it's just, the history is incredible. Paris, my wife has cousins there, and it's just a nice time to go visit. But both cities just are really special. All right, so question for either, I guess, Joe, you've been doing this longer. Who has been your favorite guest in the last 4 years of the podcast? After today, of course, or before today.
And don't feel pressure to say me. Take me off the table.
Company notwithstanding, I got to say Rudy Favard. Okay. Rudy Favard,
that's a good one.
Was just, I saw him stand up and ask a question. He had just joined the firm, like super junior at an event. And I even forget what he talked about. I didn't remember the words, but he was so inspiring and just the type of person that he was. Okay. And I said to myself, I got to get him on the podcast like immediately. He was just great. And it's one of those things where you sit down and you jot down all the questions you have for people. And he's like, okay, he's going to say this. We're going to talk about this. And then he came up with something even better when we were like sitting here in the chairs. And I said, you were terrific. And actually that reminds me, I got to check in with him. Maybe we'll grab lunch or something, but yeah, Rudy Favard, he was terrific.
Awesome.
This is a question that's really important to me.
Okay.
Name one musical artist, at least one, that both you and one of your children like.
My son does not really get into music, or now that he listens to music, he's starting to listen to music that I like, but doesn't realize I liked it. Like he'll introduce me to like bands like, oh, Dad, I was listening to Aerosmith. I'm familiar with Aerosmith. I think I'll say there's probably two, and they're not, they're pretty mainstream, and U2's a fan favorite. Anytime there's a U2 concert, I feel like I need to go. But my daughter's really gotten me into Taylor Swift, and I never thought I would say that.
Nice.
And it's not Travis Kelce, it's my daughter. But we, if I had to go on the Spotify right now, I think we're listening to a Taylor Swift playlist. I think the other day she caught me listening to the Taylor Swift podcast, the playlist without her. I would say those are my two favorites. And at least my daughter and my wife share those as well.
Very cool.
Nice. Okay, so finish this sentence. I don't like to start my day without what?
The wrong answer is my phone. Like I definitely just pick up my phone and look at it immediately, read the news. I may or may not play one or two rounds of Clash of Clans. That's probably my hidden guilt. It's really embarrassing. But I would say my phone and coffee. I think those are my two go-tos. I did the mindfulness and sound healing therapy yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a really interesting thing of just trying to integrate yoga into your morning. I thought Allison Jackson did a really nice job of just talking about how you can rewire the brain a bit. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, this isn't a lightning response. I would encourage everyone to go to those sessions. It was about an hour before we were hosting Laura and Sandy, and I was going through my notes and preparing. And then I realized if I can get an hour of meditation, that's probably the best way to prepare for the 1 o'clock session that we had. So I actually went and sat for the hour. It was fantastic. So
wow.
Again, we talk about how we've all evolved and changed. I can't imagine sitting in a dark room doing yoga with coworkers 10, 15 years ago. I want to do more of that. So again, I encourage everyone. She'll be coming back next month. I think she's coming back monthly to our Montvale campus. So
great.
Again, sorry, long answer there and definitely not lagging around.
It's
coffee
okay.
and phone.
Yeah.
But I may try to bring in some meditation and yoga into that.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, that'll be our last episode was about public speaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, meditation before public speaking could be a wonderful thing. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, my turn. Gail.
Yes.
Let's see. Of all the roles you've had at KPMG, what has been your most rewarding?
Most rewarding. Well, this is going to be counterintuitive for some who are listening to this, but I'm going to say shortly after I joined the learning and development team, I was in a role where we were starting the what we called, I think maybe we still call it, but learning governance, which was kind of putting a more regulation, if you will, around what is considered required learning and who the audiences are for required learning. And it was a bear, at least for me. We were starting from nothing and building this system and this kind of body of governance. And I mean, I asked the question at the Laura and Sandy session yesterday about imposter syndrome. I think it was coming at me hard, that imposter syndrome. There was a lot of, I don't know what in the world I'm doing. I remember telling my PML, what I don't understand what we're putting together. And eventually it all clicked, but there was so much growth and so much learning. And, I felt like I had finally learned to whistle, you know, and you're like six and you're like, finally, I can whistle. And that, so I think that was my most rewarding because that was my biggest moment of growth and realizing there's this thing called imposter syndrome and I don't need to let it control me. There's something on the other side.
I love that. Sad fact, I still don't know how to whistle. So it's bad.
Fun fact.
I whistle in.
Do you? Oh, I think that's what I do, which doesn't feel like it's the real whistle.
I run out of breath very quickly.
Doing yes, it. Yes, I'm with you.
So Arun,
yes.
Are you more of a text guy or a phone call guy?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would have said it would drive me crazy when people would text, especially when a phone call is so much easier, but I think 100% now. Text. I can't remember the last time my phone rang and it was actually a legitimate phone call. So it's all about the text these days. How about you?
It's situational.
Situational.
So I am like when my grandmother was alive, loved the phone calls. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved them. It was like a journey back to a different generation. And I like phone calls when there's something to talk about at length. But if it's hey, you know, what's for dinner? What do you want? Okay, text is fine. A one word answer. And I realize that most people are completely thrown off when I call them. They're not expecting a phone call in 2024.
Yeah.
But for the most part, with you, text is easier.
I feel like every phone call starts with, is everything okay? Is the initial response of like, why are you calling?
Yep.
Something bad has happened. So
for the most part, yeah. Yes.
All right, so I think I may know the answer to this given something you said earlier, but what's the best concert you've ever been to?
Ooh, so it's not a U2 concert.
Oh.
No, it's it was called a Tibetan Freedom Concert.
Oh, yeah.
And so four buddies of mine and I went, and it was a two-day concert in RFK, which is a stadium outside of Washington, D.C. It was the greatest. Again, all the disclaimers, child. Marriage, the greatest day of my life. Incredible bands, incredible performances. You had Dave Matthews, Beck, Pearl Jam, Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was just 2 days of music. The first day actually ended with a lightning strike that came down. And so the concert was ended like really close to nighttime. But then that made the second day even better because all those bands that didn't perform the first day, they just came back on the second day.
Nice.
But it was, I would say for a child of the 70s and a rock fan of the 90s, incredible 2 days of music. But that was by far my favorite concert.
Sounds wonderful. And I do feel like the 90s was one of the best eras for alternative and for like hip hop R&B. Mm-hmm. I just unmatched. So
Beastie Boys came to that concert, if I remember.
Right.
It was just a good... And they were all like 20, 25 minute sets. It was a little bit like Live Aid from 1987 or 86. same mindset of raising money.
So this is, I love talking about this with people, this next one. So you've just joined a Teams call and the other party is not on yet. How long do you wait past the time of the start of the call before abandoning the call?
I think it depends. And I know this is going to sound really bad and probably go against certain firm values, but if it's my boss, like, yeah. I'll wait the whole 25 minutes. I won't even ping her. I think 5 minutes feels right. And I also think it's different if it's a 25-minute call and we're already 5 minutes in. Like, we have 20 minutes left. An hour call, I think we wait. So I usually give it 5 minutes, but I also will just leave it on in the background.
Okay, so Arun, what is in your cup right now?
Oh, this, it's almost always coffee, but I'm drinking, it's like some antioxidant infusion drink. To me, they just taste like sugar, and I like it. So, like, I'm a good fan of a sweet tea. Like, a sweet tea from McDonald's is probably in my cup in my car at any given time. Mm-hmm. Regardless of how old it is, they taste the same. I just like a good sweet drink if I'm not drinking hot coffee.
All right.
Okay, so Arun, who do you call first when you have good news and why?
Oh, almost always my wife. I think she's an incredible supporter, fan. Sandy said cheerleader yesterday. But a close second's my mom. Like, my mom is just, she lives through her, I would say kids, but more so grandkids these days. Like, you can just see the joy and satisfaction it brings of seeing the grandkids and even my sister and I just thriving and doing well. So those two are always high at the phone list.
All right, Arun, who or what never fails to make you laugh out loud?
Ben Gibson is just one of my favorite people. And if he's listening to this, he's probably going to get mad at me. But I think Ben and I have known each other for 20 plus years. We met in the firm when we were both on the MCI WorldCom bankruptcy engagement many, many years ago. And I just think there's a part of him that he's almost always thinking what I'm thinking. But it's just good to hear someone else say it. But he's just an incredibly warm, hilarious person that I just truly love. I like when he's fired up and he's angry because he gets a little bit like Lewis Black, that kind of angry.
Yeah. Love that.
But at the same time, it's just such a great person. And he just always makes me laugh. Like, that's my, we usually have like a Friday standing or every couple of week Friday standing check-in. I think it's called between him and I just to connect and catch up. He's in the firm. Both of us have left the firm at various stages, but we've always just been really close in contact. So Ben's great. Just my go-to for humor.
So Arun, this has been great and really, really appreciate. I wish more guests would ask us questions too. Okay. That was fun. That was different. And before we go over our time and then we have the person on your next call waiting for you for 5 or 6 or 40 minutes, we want to let you go. But, you know, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, especially as a fellow dad. I was inspired by you today and I look forward to seeing you around campus and look forward to seeing what's next.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Gail. Again, congrats on 4 years. Incredible accomplishment. So happy for you. Thank you for doing this for the campus. I think just people hearing great things from our campus and what you are doing is so important. So appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Montvale Muse. We're always looking for new stories and new guests. If you've got an idea for either, feel free to reach out at jdeprospero@kpmg.com.